Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. I'm John Cook, and I'm joined today by Takahiro Sakito, Chief Japan Strategist for MUFG. It's Wednesday, November 2nd, 2022. Welcome back to the podcast, Sakito-san.
Good to be back.
Always good to have you. So let's get right into it. You recently put out a JPY cross-asset report on the investment plans of Japanese life insurance companies covering the second half of their fiscal year, entitled Lifers to Diversify Assets with Super Long JGBs and Alternatives After Cutting Foreign Bonds. You know, the investment plans of life insurance companies are super informative. We get them twice a year. Why don't we spend the first part of the podcast taking our listeners through the key points of that piece?
Japan's 10 major life insurance companies' second half of fiscal year 22 asset management plans reveal that, firstly, appetite for sovereign foreign bonds, both hedged for currency risk and are open, not hedged, seems weak. And secondly, they plan to cap their sovereign foreign bond holdings while increasing credit investing, which is increasingly attractive when hedged for currency risk. Also, thirdly, many lifers plan to keep Japan stock buying at similar levels. Fourth, JGBs are increasingly popular as an asset management tool to adjust durations after unloading foreign bonds. And a fifth, they plan to keep the stance of diversifying their asset portfolios, especially with foreign stocks and investment fund holdings. Japanese lifers' asset weightings can be capitalized as in line with lifer accounting measures and to adjust durations and increase appetite for yields. Over the near term, Japanese lifers are expected to buy more super long JGBs in order to manage their liability durations. Also, the belly and long end of the yen basis curve could widen as lifers diversify their asset management portfolios. Moreover, we also recommend foreign investors to watch Japanese investors' preference for G10 credit investment instruments closely. Their investment behavior will likely be mixed by sector. Some Japanese investors being significantly affected with the recent G10 bond yield rising and having losses. So I also wanted to watch out their financial results for the second half fiscal year 22.
Okay, so you conclude that they're likely to increase credit investments, but with that caveat to pay close attention. You know, for what really resonates to me is lifers flocking to the long end of the JGB curve makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. FX hedge costs for foreign bonds have increased significantly. Lifers have been selling a tremendous amount of foreign bonds so far this year, so they do have dry powder. And you also have, you know, JGB yields in the super long part of the curve that we haven't seen for years, if not a decade. So that all makes a ton of sense. Let's see. So I think that was very comprehensive. So let's switch topics to another, you know, very, very timely, key, important topic, which is the samurai bond market. Specifically, I'd like to review your recent JPY cross asset piece. And more specifically, I guess the question is, you know, how is samurai issuance so far this year, as well as what is your outlook for samurai issuance going forward?
Okay. Yen samurai bond issuances total 753 billion yen, continuing to recover in the first half of fiscal year 22. So far in fiscal year 22, Japan's corporate bond market has started to show the impact of headwinds. The recovery trend for the yen samurai bond market stood out, though Japanese investors unloaded large amounts of foreign securities amid the war in Ukraine and upper stresses on the rates and the weakening yen. Over the near term, global yen samurai bond issuances could be attractive funding option for European and Australian investors, issuers, if the euro, pound, and Aussie dollar credit spreads remain wide. This is because euro, pound, and Aussie dollar issuers also appear to be struggling with US dollar asset funding currently, despite the lack of clarity with regard to valuation losses for Japanese investors' foreign bond positions. Tokyo primary yen bond market is still steady vis-à-vis other G10 bond markets, and the abundance of yen funds appears to be supporting yen samurai bond issuances.
Okay, so it looks like Samurai are benefiting from, sort of two things. So Japanese investors unloading a huge amount of foreign securities means that they're, they have dry powder, and then, credit spreads obviously under pressure across the globe seem like they're holding in a bit better in Japan. Okay, great. So moving on again, we have a lot to cover on this podcast. Last week, as you know, as our listeners know, the Bank of Japan left policy unchanged at their October policy meeting, so, which is what you expected. In the context of what just happened today here in New York, the Fed raised rates by 75 basis points and was, was ended up, being hawkish, ended up delivering that hawkishly. So just it sounds crazy that the Bank of Japan is, is keeping yield curve controls, still buying bonds and arguably buying more bonds than they have in a while. But the BOJ does have its reasons. Help me help our listeners understand.
Okay. The BOJ made no changes to monetary policy at its October 27th to 28th monetary policy board. And there was no changes to the bank's JGB buying framework. The tweak to EDF buying guidelines will not affect Japan's monetary base or BOJ yield curve control operations. So our main scenario for the yen rates has not changed. Over the near term, the BOJ is likely to continue to be viewed as an accommodative compared to other G10 central banks because of its yield curve control operations and fund supplying stance. But the dollar strengthening and yen weakening trends have started to reverse course somewhat. Resource prices have started to shift from their highs. Not only dollar yen spot rates and the yen basis, but also the Nikkei average and commodity pricing could change little by little. Dollar yen may drop slowly because of market fluid pricing, the Fed rate hikes. Additionally, the BOJ leadership and a policy board members' views on inflation have started to shift, and they appear to be laying the groundwork for their next policy move so as to widen the range of the yield curve control operations. The BOJ leadership is hoping for changes to pricing, not limited to the cost push type inflation.
Okay, well, hope is not a strategy, but interesting to hear that they appear to be laying the groundwork for policy change. I'll note, and I know you've noted before that Kuroda's term is up, and there will be a new governor in place in April. Perhaps that is an op more opportune time to to change policy, or at least get closer to doing that. And also would note, that the BOJ's forecasts do call for, although inflation is consumer inflation is sort of temporarily elevated, they do have it going back down behind their below their target, which suggests that some sort of additional monetary easing is appropriate. Again, a lot to cover, but I don't want to wrap things up without going over your outlook across yen rate, spot dollar yen, and yen basis.
Dollar yen fell from the highs as the dollar weakened and on expectations of slightly slower US rate hikes, including a surprise small rate hike in Canada, and falling LNG and other resource prices. Those expectations proved misplaced as the November FOMC decision ultimately played out more hawkishly. Over the near term, we will be watching the US economic data to see if the dollar stays strong and if the yen selling picks up, we revise our bias for dollar yen to neutral from bullish, but stay our projected trading range to 146 to 149. The yen swap rate has shown the neutral pricing action, except for the super long sector. Over the near term, the BOJ is less likely to significantly alter its stance on yield curve control operations. Lifer's second half fiscal year 22 asset management plans highlighted their strong appetite for super long JGBs. They could buy more super long JGBs after unloading falling bonds. We maintain our neutral bias for yen rates. Yen basis has continued to tighten. Ministry of Finance weekly securities flow data for October 16th to 22nd shows that the Japanese investors net bought 1 billion yen of overseas securities during the week. This included net selling by 209 billion yen of short-term foreign bonds versus net buying by 164 billion yen of medium to long-term foreign bonds and 45 billion yen of foreign stocks and investment fund holdings. Japanese investors made relatively small changes to their overseas asset positions. This suggests that they have started making smaller changes to their positions after they struggled more ahead of the first half of the fiscal year 22 earnings releases. Also, over the same week, October 16th to 22nd, foreigners unloaded a net 29 billion yen of Japanese securities. This included net buying by 1.7 trillion yen of short-term yen bonds against net selling by 1.3 trillion yen of medium to long-term yen bonds and by 356 billion yen of Japan stocks and investment fund holdings. Foreigners have been buying more Japanese TDBs. Japanese investors may be approaching the peak funding, dollar funding, and hedging needs for the foreign asset positions, while the overseas investors will likely focus on the front end of the yen basis curve. We see the Japanese investors' investing flows dominating and change our view of yen basis from neutral to widening.
Okay, so neutral on spot FX, neutral on JPY rate, but biased wider on basis. Great analysis as always. We covered a lot of ground there. Thanks so much for joining us, Sekito-san.
Thanks for having me, John, always.
And thank you for listening to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back soon for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.